bar and took off. Halfway toward the door, Miles called out to him. Army kept going. Two women tried to waylay him, but he pretended not to notice. Once outside, he sucked in the cold evening air, but it did nothing to clear his head. And suddenly, without looking behind him, he knew Cannon was there. Shit. Cannon laughed. You're okay to drive? Working to clear all emotion from his face, Army turned to his friend. Can't get drunk on nasty lemon water now, can I? Is that what you wanted to do? Get drunk? No. He wanted to drag Marissa to bed and keep her there until his blood no longer burned and his lurid thoughts of her cleared out of his brain. He popped his neck, shook his head, and said, I don't know. It's not the fight. Folding his arms, Cannon leaned back on the outside wall of Rowdy's bar. I know you too well to think you're concerned about Carter. I'll either win the fight or not. I'm prepared. Army shrugged, showing his indifference. He never thought in terms of winning or losing, just winning. And to that end, he did what he needed to do to ensure success. Everyone assumes there's added pressure because you'll be in the SBC now. But again, Cannon stated, I know you better than that. A fight is a fight, Army confirmed. The size of the crowd, or the size of the paycheck, doesn't matter to me. I know. Cannon lifted a brow. So you want to tell me what's eating at you? A bad case of desperate lust for your little sister. Not something he'd ever share. Rather than deny the problem, Army shook his head. I'll deal with it. By avoiding sex? He jutted his chin. Who says I am? Cannon didn't blink. Man, I know you. Better than anyone. You thought I wouldn't notice when you went cold turkey? That so shocked Army that he took a step back. He couldn't think of a single thing to say. If he tried to blame it on fight preparation, Cannon would just laugh at him again. I don't suppose you'd butt out? Sure, if that's what you really want. Cannon straightened away from the wall. But if you want to talk, if you need anything, I know. Once, a lifetime ago, Cannon had been the only person to back him. Against all odds and ugly accusations, he'd stood with Army and never, not once, showed a single shadow of doubt. Uncomfortable with the idea of ever again being that needy, Army flexed his shoulders and said, Thanks, but it's fine. I know that. Cannon squeezed his shoulder. You just need to start believing it. Army glared at his friend as he went back into the bar. He didn't need that melodramatic crap heaped on him. Breathing hard, he looked around at the moon-washed blacktop, the frost-covered bus bench, then up at the inky star-studded sky. What was Marissa doing right now? Was she with another man, as he'd suggested? It's what he wanted, what would be best for her, but at the same time, Jesus, it tortured him. After the life he'd led, the background he'd overcome and the physical ability he'd gained, he wasn't afraid of anything or anyone, except Marissa Coulter's effect on him. That scared him, all right. Bone-deep, heart-sucking fear. He glanced back, and through the big front window of the bar he saw his friends, Marissa's friends. Only she wasn't there. Because of him. It was past time he stopped being a coward, so instead he'd face the fear. Tomorrow morning, he'd face her. And somehow, he'd make it all right. Most people thought bank managers worked a perfect 9-to-5 job. Ha! As Marissa looked from the impatient customers still in line to her harassed tellers and the clock, she knew it'd be another late day. What should have been 5 minutes more would likely turn into at least half an hour. The phone rang, and as she went to answer it, the front door opened again. Along with a gust of cold air, two male customers stepped in, bundled up in heavy winter coats and stocking hats, with thick knit scarves around their throats. Right behind them was Army. Unlike the other men, he wore only an open flannel over his thermal shirt. His cheeks were ruddy from the cold, his blonde hair disheveled.